Good afternoon. This is Joel Whitaker, editor of Kane's Beverage News Daily, and today we are talking with Victoria McRae Samuels, who is Vice President for Operations at the Maker's Mark Distillery. Welcome, Victoria. Nice to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Joel. It's a pleasure to join you.
So tell us something about yourself. Where were you born? Where did you grow up? And when did you decide you wanted to get into distilling?
Well, that's kind of an interesting question, the second part of that, when I was interested in getting into distilling, because it was really kind of a serendipitous meeting. But I was born in Seattle, Washington, grew up in Seattle, Washington, went to college and graduate school in Washington State, and was living and working in San Francisco in the mid-80s. And took a personal trip to Kentucky. Now, I had actually not traveled much to this region in the years past, and I came out to Kentucky and met some friends out here, friends of friends, you know how that works.
Sure.
And ended up one evening going to a friend of a friend's home for dinner. And it turned out that it was Booker No and his wife, Annis, here in Bardstown. We're not here, I'm in Loretto, but it was in Bardstown. And had a lovely evening, met Booker, and the interesting thing about it was, at the time, in the 80s, bourbon was not a big drink of choice on the West Coast. It was mostly wines, tequilas, different spirits, and I really had no idea about the history, the heritage of bourbon. Didn't really know anything about the drink itself, the spirit itself, and over dinner, Booker had mentioned to me, well, what do you do? Well, I was a research chemist by training, and that was my education as well. And at some point in the conversation, he said, have you ever thought about moving and working in the bourbon industry? And my response pretty much was, no, I don't know anything about bourbon. And he says, well, you know, you should think about it. Think about making a move. I'd like to have more chemists involved in the production process of our bourbon, and think about it. So it really wasn't a conscious decision, other than it sounded like a great, interesting opportunity. And I was very impressed with when I came back out to Kentucky a few months later to talk with the folks there at the distillery. I was really impressed with the process of it and the heritage and just the passion that the people here in Kentucky seem to have for the local product that is bourbon.
Terrific. Well, you know, it's interesting to me that he would be looking or wanting to acquire additional chemists and that you would get into this business because for those of us who are not distillers, you know, to some extent, looking at the Jack Daniels ads, I think we're inclined to think that, you know, that you just put the stuff in a barrel and, you know, and then sit back on the porch and rock your chair for 7 years and then it's ready to go. But obviously, that's not the case. How many chemists do you have at Maker's Mark? Are you the only one, or do you have several others?
Well, here at Maker's Mark, we have on our team our quality control manager, Diane Rogers, who's been in the industry many years, well over 10 years, and two chemists reporting to her as well. You know, just to kind of speak to your comments about looking at the industry and how the product is made, people think that, oh, it's just as simple as distilling it and putting it into a barrel and waiting for a few years. But, you know, one of the things that I learned over the years, holding many different jobs at the other facility and then being very fortunate when Bill Samuels then hired me to come to Maker's Mark, is it really drives home the thought that there's a lot of art to it, to making bourbon, and there's a lot of science and craft as well. So I think it's the finding that perfect balance between art, science, and then bringing all the handcrafted elements into play, looking at what really preserves the brand, Maker's Mark, to be consistent with our founder's vision. You have to have that balance, and you have to really have all three to make a consistent, high-quality product.
I would suspect that that being involved in the distilling business as a chemist, you know, just talking chemistry for a minute, I would suspect that that's substantially different than what you would do as a chemist at some other or in some other industry, isn't it? Or is it basically all the same thing?
Well, I think it's the inquisitiveness that people in science have about learning more and more and more about whatever it is they're working with. So for me, my chemistry background just really helps me define an understanding of why is it that the Samuels family strain of yeast is so particular to our process. You know, why is it that when we mash and when we ferment, we get a very consistent product? What drives the consistency and the aging of that new distillate? Because our distillate is very different from the other distillates in the other products, and each of the other products' distillate is different from one another. So I think the beauty of a handcrafted product is you have differences, but you maintain a quality and a consistency, and it's that, you know, I think that I'm lucky having a science background because I like to get underneath why things are the way they are. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're driven to change anything. It just contributes a greater understanding of the process and the details about crafting a fine product.
And it probably helps, I would assume, substantially with the consistency of the product also, because I would think that for you guys, you know, things could change from one barrel to the next, or one batch to the next, or one year to the next, and I would assume that what all of you want to do is have a very consistent experience for your customers.
Joel, you're absolutely right. That's one of the keys to how we look after our maker's mark from incoming grain to the barreling, to the warehousing, to the outgoing. You know, we have found that we still rotate our barrels because that gives us a greater consistency throughout the aging process. Understanding the process can allow you to be more consistent, but remember it's also a natural process. And with a natural process, you can gain consistency and still have some variation that is totally acceptable to the process. It's the level of variation. It's managing to that very specific taste profile that Bill Senior created. You know, when he and Marge set out to create this wonderful product, and she, of course, with the handcrafted packaging, and then he, of course, with the bourbon whiskey itself, he was very specific in what he wanted with the forward palate and how to handle the grains, you know, how to use a roller mill, how to cook without using a pressure cooker, all those specific things that he understood intuitively, we're able to continue to do to keep that consistency of the product.
Cool. Now, when you came on, what was your first job at Maker's Mark?
I joined Maker's Mark. Bill hired me here after I had been in the industry for 19 and a half years. In those 19 and a half years before I came to Maker's Mark, some of the jobs I held were I was a research chemist, I was the quality control manager at another facility, processing manager, distillery supervisor, relief supervisor, actually, on all of the back shifts, which was very interesting. And Bill brought me on board at Maker's Mark as the director of operations, and that was overseeing bottling and warehousing and quality control.
So,
and that was
in
2008.
So you are effectively, I hope I don't get the title wrong, but you're effectively like the plant manager there.
Mm-hmm. And then in 2010, I accepted the vice president of operations position, which is effectively the plant manager position here in Loretto. So my responsibility is everything in Loretto.
Everything from the distilling itself to the bottling to the packaging to making sure the grass is cut and the paint is nicely trimmed on the house there, huh?
And that the visitors' expectations are exceeded, yes, all of those things.
Well, now that's taken you a step beyond just being a chemist. So how did you find this transition from doing chemistry type work to being a plant manager? Was it easy? Was it difficult?
Well, it wasn't overnight, Joel.
Yeah. Yes.
It definitely wasn't overnight. As a research chemist, one of the things that really intrigued me was the process itself. And so I left the research lab and worked in the production areas for many years, 17 years, doing everything from learning about pumps and pipes and, you know, just the mechanics of distilling, mm-hmm. to understanding the process and really getting a deeper knowledge of the process, whether it be processing the product, filtering the finished product, or actually in the distilling, the warehousing end of it. It was a gradual progression, and I enjoyed every step of it. I think the best thing about it was working with the teams of people I met along the way. They all taught me something, very, very valuable information, whether it was the process or just, you know, I came from the West Coast as well, so I wanted to learn about Kentucky, what was valuable to the people in the industry, because they had such pride and passion in the products and where they lived. And so it was just a learning process, really. One step at a time, learn about the process, and then take the next step and learn some more. And, you know, I may be doing what I'm doing now as plant manager, but I'm learning every day.
And you're still learning, huh?
Absolutely. I don't think that anybody ever stops.
How big is your team there? How many people are you managing?
Right about 100.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We have right about 100 people here in Loretto that distill and bottle and hand dip and age every drop of Maker's Mark.
That's a good size operation.
Yes, it is, and it's a great team. It's a team that's very flexible. You know, we're able to respond to production changes if we need to, mostly up, as you probably are aware of. The team is very, very cohesive. They look out after each other. It's a very, very good team. There are some people that have been here for 30, 40 years that are some second-generation employees, and it's just really a pleasure to keep learning from them as we move forward. And we have some new employees that bring in some great ideas with them as well.
What do you look for when you're hiring somebody?
A passion for what they do, an interest in always learning, an interest in finding something that they can be deeply committed to, and then I look at the skills. And, you know, my tendencies always run toward meeting the person, the integrity, the interest that a candidate has, and then if it's highly technical, yes, we do need to look at skill sets. But I really do believe that people with the right drive and motivation can really learn and be a great fit.
Good. What do you like most about what you're doing now?
Well, now, Joel, this will sound cliche, probably. What I like most is actually just coming into work. Every day is different. There are different challenges. There's different successes every single day with the team. The best part of my job is using what I know and what I've learned over the years, whether it be from a technical standpoint, a process standpoint, working with people standpoint, to provide the team here what it needs to be successful. When I can give back to them and see them take on something or a new challenge and it be very successful for them, that gives me a lot of pleasure.
Isn't it just a real blessing to get up in the morning and be happy going to work as versus getting up in the morning and saying, oh, well, it's another day at the salt mines and trudging on in?
Yes, absolutely, because then it's not work. It's just who you are. It's
yes.
Who you are, and it's what you do, and it's the people you accomplish your goals and meet your goals with, and the product here, you know, is a tremendous source of pride to all of us at Maker's Mark. When you look at the package and the bottle and the handcrafted vision that Marge Samuels had for that package, and it's still very true to the original bottle. I don't know if you've seen probably the one of those early bottles that Bill has. Mm-hmm. The packaging is very true, and then you tear that tear tape and pour some of that Maker's Mark into a glass, and it is just so consistent with Bill Senior's vision of the forward palette product that we have now. Yes, it's a good thing.
Now, I presume that working at Maker's Mark, you do in fact drink the bourbon, right?
Yes, I do. I do enjoy it on occasion.
So the West Coast gal raised on wine now drinks bourbon from time to time. Do you still drink some wine?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
We'll have family gatherings or family celebrations, and Makers and Ginger Ale is a nice way to have a social drink with folks and a little bit of wine with dinner. The other thing that I really do enjoy is cooking with Maker's Mark.
Oh, really?
Or using Maker's 46, grilling with the staves. Some people ask about that, do you plank? Can you use the used Maker's 46 staves? And yes, they work wonderfully on a gas grill.
Good, excellent. Now, what do you like least about your job?
That's really a hard question. I really think that there's a lot of advantages to the fact that every day is different. A lot of challenges. Things that are just new and different and exciting. I don't really dislike anything or anything that I like least. It's just a different challenge.
Okay.
Whether it's looking at a tree, there's a tree here at the Great Lawn, and it, the poor thing just struggles. All the other trees grow very, very well, and we have one tree that we have to take particular care of. And it's just like every other facet of what I do here at Maker's Mark. It's like everything else we have across the facility, things work at different rates. People grow at different rates. The tree survives differently than the others. And the challenge is to be able to have enough insight, foresight, and to keep on learning things where I can come back and provide the kind of leadership and the kind of guidance to the team and the facility here that's needed to sustain us. So I have yet to find anything in particular to answer your question. I prefer to really just look at everything as just a different challenge. It's just part of the diversity of doing what I do.
Well, that's terrific. What's your relationship to Bill and Rob Samuels?
You mean family, personal?
Family, yeah. Yeah.
My husband Don and Bill are distant cousins.
Okay. And how did you meet Don, if I can ask?
Through work, through living in Kentucky and working and being in Kentucky, I met him.
Okay, one of those typical things where you're working and somebody else is working, and
that's right.
Sparks fly and off you go. Okay,
that's right.
That's good. If I don't ask that question, my wife will yell at me because she always wants to know that question, and I know some other people do too from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it was very interesting because coming to Maker's Mark and it was just a very interesting coincidence after having been in the industry for as long as I had been. It's just interesting.
Yeah, good.
One of those things,
that's fine. Let's see. What advice would you have to a young person looking to get a job similar to yours?
Well, first of all, we kind of touched on it because you were asking me what do I look for in candidates and future employees. And I think it's no different for each and every one of us. You and I kind of talked about it a little bit at the beginning of this call when we were offline. It's all about the passion and the interest that you have in what you do. If you don't like what you do, it is work. It's a job. And if you want just a job, that's fine, but you're only going to treat it like it's a job. And it's going to be something that you can leave behind at the end of the day or on the weekends and not really think about it and just kind of go to it. It doesn't mean that you're any less of a hardworking person. But I guess I don't give advice a lot because I think advice kind of it's more opinion and it can be one-sided, and folks tend to hear your advice and think, oh, well, that's what I should do. And it may or may not apply to them in their situation. But I think the one universal that from talking with people in any different industry or any area of their life is you tend to become what you're passionate about. And if I have two daughters, and the one thing that I'm always driving them toward is it's not about the degree you get. It's not about the field of study that you're in. It's not about those extrinsic, external influences. It's all about how do you feel. You know, are you passionate? Are you interested in what it is? Is it just part of who you are? Then you'll become successful, and success will be measured by you, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a little bit naive, but that's what I've seen. That's what I've experienced personally.
Well, and that's the same thing I tell my two daughters, too, by the way. You know, basically do what you enjoy, and everything else will work out from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I had one other question that was at the top of my mind, then I got diverted, and I've completely forgotten it, so we won't worry about it. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you wish we had asked here?
I normally would talk about, you know, your question about going forward and looking at the kinds of people that we have here and what is the greatest advantage that I see of Maker's Mark. And you ask that, you know, it's all in the people. It's in the consistency of the product. It's in the expectations of the consumers, which are really, they're more than consumers. They actually are brand fans and part of the Maker's Mark family. So,
right. Good. Now I have two other questions for you, actually three.
Thought of them, didn't you?
Well, one is, in fact, the question I was going to ask you, and if I'm not careful, I'll forget it again. You know, my impression is, and I'm looking for you to confirm or deny this, but my impression is that there are more women in jobs like yours than you might expect in the distilling industry. I believe the vice president for production, Brown-Forman, is a woman, and there's you, and I think I've heard of a couple of others. Do you have any sense as to whether I'm accurate on that or not? Is that true?
I really don't know.
Okay.
Because to be really honest with you, it hasn't been until recently when I've been asked questions like that.
Yeah.
You know, people saying, you're the only person that holds the position you hold, you know, as plant manager of a distilled spirits, of a bourbon distillery. Did you realize that you're the only woman, at your level in the distilled spirits industry? But since then, I've discovered that there's someone that I've met through someone else who is in the scotch industry and hold the same position. It's kind of been a topic of conversation that's fairly new to me, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Because early on, when I was in graduate school, there weren't a lot of women chemists either, right?
Right.
And so it's something that you tended to probably get used to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really notice that necessarily, that I was the only woman in a meeting or that I was the only woman in a class, until people just now started asking me, did you notice that you are? So I really don't know what the numbers are. I don't really know what the proportion is. Now that I notice it more, I think what makes Maker's Mark so special is all the differences of our consumers and our brand fans and the differences of our team here that all pull together and make a very strong, consistent product. And I think that's true in any workforce. I think you need to have the diversity of people. I think that more and more we're seeing that in the workforce, where more and more women are in traditionally male roles. And I champion that. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for young women to be able to express what they're really interested in and follow their dreams. And you know what it does on the converse side? It also frees up young men to make the same decision, where they don't feel as constrained. So I can't really speak to the numbers. I don't see very many women, though.
Right. Well, I guess what I'll have to do is I'll have to sit down and start making a list, and if I get 10, then I can write a book about women in distilling or women in the alcohol business or something. And
10?
Go from there. Yeah.
10?
Uh-huh. If I can find 10.
Okay.
You know, the reason for 10 is simply that I have a friend who's a book coach who says anybody can write a book. You just need 10 topics and then 10, you know, subtopics under each of those topics. And, you know, 10 topics equals 10 chapters and you're done. And
okay.
So, I mean, that's sort of, you know, you can talk about chemical stuff and I can talk about that. And, you know, it's the magic secret.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's it. Okay, let's see. I think I already asked you if there were any questions that we haven't covered, and I think you said we had gotten them all, including the one that you normally talk about.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, is there anything else we should talk about here?
I think you've pretty much covered everything. I think, you know, one of the things that I feel very fortunate, as I said before, is to have the pleasure of working with a great team every day. I think that it's interesting to see our consumers because they have an entirely different interest, I think, in distilled spirits at a different level than they ever have before, and you probably see that a lot with people that you speak with. When I travel, I am astounded at how informed consumers are. And I think that what that does is it opens the question about what are products, what's the heritage of the product, what's contained in the product. And you know what I think it really does is I think it really helps us hold to very, very high expectations for ourselves. And I'm saying us, our, we a lot, but what I mean is I'm talking about the Maker's Mark team, but I think it's a universal truth. I think that consumers actually are more informed and have higher expectations, and it's really up to each company, and I know that Maker's Mark takes this very seriously, is to meet and exceed those expectations.
Sure, sure. Okay, two bonus questions here, which are very simple, but they will answer something I've been wondering. I went out to Bardstown a couple of years ago, and not having done any preparation, I was not real happy with the place I ended up eating. So if we were to come to Loretto, where would you suggest somebody eat if they want a halfway decent meal, and where would you suggest they stay?
Loretto is small,
mm-hmm.
and there are a couple of restaurants in Lebanon that are fairly close. There is a Hampton Inn that's about 10 minutes away, and there's a bed and breakfast in Loretto. And we actually have contact information down here at the distillery if folks wanted to call and find out if they wanted to stay in Loretto instead of in Bardstown.
Sure.
When were you in Bardstown?
A couple of years ago.
Okay. I think that there's been some change of hands with some of the different restaurants there, too.
Mm.
Hopefully they've seen some improvement.
Sure.
But, you know, if you or some friends or family or anyone wants to call down here, we do have some contact places that we can give them.
Sure. Good. Great. Well, as I say, I came in and I had not done any planning whatsoever. Don't ask me why, because usually I plan a trip, you know, and it goes into a one-inch thick binder with all sorts of stuff there.
Yes.
In this particular case, I came driving in and, you know, it was 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night, and the family was starting to starve, and you know, where can we eat? And, you know, it was
yeah.
not an example of my finest day, let me put it that way.
Well, you know, some of those turn into being the most memorable when you have to stop at some fast food place and just get something and go sit on in a park or something. You know, they can be a memorable, and we're only an hour and a half away from Louisville.
That's true.
So,
well,
that's what a lot of folks do, is they'll stay in Louisville.
They'll stay in Louisville and then drive down. That makes
yes.
some sense, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, listen, thank you, Victoria, very much for your time. We appreciate it. We hope you have a wonderful year distilling Maker's Mark and taking care of that poor tree out there on the great lawn and all the other responsibilities you have. And, you know, we'll look forward to talking to you in a couple more years and see how things are coming along.
Well, and Joel, thank you. Thank you for taking the time and contacting me, and I appreciate all your questions. And the tree is doing pretty well right now.
Good. Excellent. Well, we'll come check it out. Thanks so much, Victoria, and have a very great day and lots of success.
Thank you so much, Joel.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.